Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is today's message.
I want to preach from this subject, choose joy. Choose joy. So on my way back to the airport in Havana this week, I don't know why, but the Spirit of the Lord just moved on me, and I looked at my colleagues and I said, "What gives you joy?" Alex, our Cuban teammate, looked at me and he said, "Oh, that's easy, hermano. It's my family. It's my in-laws." Some of us, I'm not even gonna go there. But when it comes to the in-laws, sometimes the in-laws won't give us joy. We get something else on the other side. But to say that, that was a blessing to me. Because in Cuba, they live together with their in-laws. There's no separate home. That it's so impoverished that the in-laws stay with the children. So he said, it was my in-laws, my father-in-law. I'm grateful for my home. And when I went into his home, I had to think about this. Two-story home. His bedroom was no bigger from this keyboard to this mic. That's how wide his bedroom was. But he showed me around his tiny apartment with joy. And he was proud of it. And he said, "Armando, this is my living room. I just dropped this mattress. Boom, it falls on the floor. And now we have another bedroom." But then you walk from his kitchen, from his bedroom, one step and you're right into a small kitchen. There is no separation. So if they're frying chicken, the chicken and the smell goes all the way into the bedroom, into his son's room. He said, "But hermano, that gives me joy." And I want to take my time this morning, so that's why I started preaching before time. But then he said, "You know what else gives me joy? To know that I wake up and I have the gift of life. That I wake up every day and I have life. And God has given me another chance to celebrate him." And I thought about that. But then I looked at my other colleague, Roger Light. He is a critical thinker. And he said, "Well, traveling the country, developing relationships, leading people, that gives me joy." But I know Roger. I said, "There's got to be more. There's got to be more." So when I landed in Houston on Thursday night, I took my phone off of airplane mode. I had 75 text messages, over 200 emails, and one of the text messages is from Roger. And I want you to hear Roger's words. He says this: "It is my observation that the closer one is to death and dying day to day, the simpler life is. That life requires fewer entanglements to have joy in living. The more remote death seems to be, the more we live and we accumulate stuff, the less joy that we have. Because our joy is caught up in the things that we have, the people we associate with, and it becomes more complex." He says, so when you ask me what brings me joy, I had to think about it. Because in America, our joy comes from creature comforts, from food, from drinks, from electronic devices. But the more I travel throughout Latin America, I realize that joy comes from Jesus and from no one else. Because it is the risen Savior who gives me joy. Then he says in his text message, "Eric, the problem with us in the United States is that God has blessed us so well that we forget about where the blessings come from. And we equate blessings to joy and we put all of it in one basket. But we have to learn as Americans to trust God daily, to live, to love, to give our best, to celebrate, and God will fill us with joy." I'm about to get excited this morning because I couldn't wait to get here. He says joy. So Eric, here's what I ask. Do you have Jesus? And is Jesus the source of your joy? So here's the question I pose to you this morning. What brings you joy? What gives you joy? Who gives you joy? Because if joy is found in the person, when that person leaves, your joy is right out the door. If your joy is found in stuff, that when the stuff breaks, boom, it's out of here. If your joy is found in your children, and when your children do something that is not what you expected, your joy is tied to your children. Your joy is never tied to people, but your joy is tied to Jesus. So C.S. Lewis says this, joy is the serious business of heaven. And too many people look back on their life with regret, and they look too much to the future with stress and anxieties, and they have no joy. That if we learn how to live for today and trust God for today and celebrate God today, we can experience joy in our lives. But here's the problem. We look too much on the past, and the past robs us of our joy. And some people could be farther in life if they stop looking at the past. The past is the past, and you can't change it. But you can learn from it. You can allow God to heal you, but then you can walk in joy. So how many of you are missing God's blessings because you caught up on the past? And you can't get over the past, and the past is tripping you. And every time you think about the past, you go into depression. You have anxiety attacks. God says, let the past be the past, because I got something better for your future. I'm telling you to let go of the past so I can move you into your future. The future, God has something great for you. And he wants you to live in joy. So today, I'm telling you, choose joy. Choose joy. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but you better choose joy. Because when you choose joy, you have what you need, because joy is tied to Jesus. In John chapter 17, here's what Jesus says. He's saying his priestly prayer. And look at the scripture. He says, I am on my way to you, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that my followers will have the same complete joy that I do. Christ wants you to have the same joy that he has. When he was going to the cross, he had joy. When he died for you, he had joy. And when you are crucified by people, walk in joy. Because people don't set my temperature, I set my own temperature. And my temperature comes from God, so I can walk in joy. So this morning, five reasons why we should experience joy. I guarantee you I won't get to all five. I guarantee you that. Five reasons. So this morning, pray for me. Pastor is experiencing dry lips this morning. I was dehydrated all week because one of the things that happened in Cuba is, you heard my wife say, oh Lord, but I try not to spit on you. Amen. One of the things that happened in Cuba this week is that we don't drink their water because our bodies can't handle that water. So you're always buying bottled water, but they're not used to always buying bottled water. So every time you look around, you're trying to buy water and water's not available. So this week I got back, I know I lost 5 pounds just from being dehydrated. So pray for me this morning. Five reasons why we should choose joy. Here's the first one. It reminds us of God's goodness. It reminds us of God's goodness. Look at Psalms 84 and 11. For the Lord God is a shield, a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk upright. And the psalmist is saying this, if God is a sun and a shield, he illuminates us, he invigorates us, he restores us, he protects us, he defends us, he nourishes us, he gives us hope even in the worst situation. God is our shield, he's our sun, he is everything he needs. But watch this. He doesn't stop there. God is our grace. And in this text, grace doesn't mean unmerited favor. It means he pardons you. He purifies you. He saves you. But then he satisfies us. Thank God that when I walk upright, he will give me the good things. And one of the good things is joy. How many people just need the good things from God this morning? I don't know about you, but I need all of the good things that God wants to give me. Here's the issue that we face. Sometimes we curse what God has blessed. So we're leaving. And on Wednesday, I'm talking to Nathan Jones. He lives in McAllen. And he's part of our small team in Cuba. And I said, Nathan, what has God taught you in life? He said, oh man, that's easy. He said, man, I was running a marathon about 12 years ago. And I kept running, and all of a sudden, my esophagus just swelled. And I had this huge cyst right here on my esophagus. And when I got home, the doctors were going through it, and they couldn't find anything. And weeks after test, the cysts got bigger. So they decided to do surgery. And he said, when they did surgery and they brought me out, the doctor said, man, I'm glad you had that cyst. Because behind the cyst was cancer. He had thyroid cancer, but they couldn't see the thyroid cancer because of the cyst. It was the cyst that allowed them to get behind what was going on. And he said, this is what God taught me. I was cursing the cyst, but the cyst was actually my blessing. Because if I did not have the cyst, they would have never found the cancer. Some of y'all need to quit cursing what God has blessed, because God wants to bless you. Sometimes it's not the way you want it to be. When friends walk out, it could be your blessing. Stop chasing people and start chasing God. Let them go. Arrivederci. Goodbye. Holla. See you next week. Because just like you left, God will bring somebody else in. Joy. Joy. The other issue is, we are hanging with people that are so dysfunctional, they're more dysfunctional than we are. And we're asking God to bless us and to heal us and to deliver us, but we keep running back to the same old company. Birds of a feather flock together. If you won't hear from God, sometimes you have to detach from people and hang on to God. I had somebody tell me one day, I said, man, I don't think I'm better than anybody. But if I did, what's wrong with that? In the context of understanding, God has more. I said, I just don't have time to waste. And if you're not going in the direction I'm going in, that's not wasting my time. And some of it this morning, this is not on my notes, but you letting your joy get drained and sucked out of you because you're hanging with the wrong folks. Start hanging with the people where God is taking you and watch how your joy is filled and your cup runs over. The cyst. So this morning, somebody needs to know God is in complete control. I don't know what you're going through, but God is in complete control. He knows what's best for you. He promised to give you everything that you need. So continue to walk upright. Continue to maintain your character. Continue to seek Him. Continue to love Him. Follow Him because He's your son and your shield. Baby, bend but don't break. Sometimes you just got to bend, but don't you break. And God will hold you to your breaking point, and then He'll put you right back. Maintain your character. I don't care how bad it gets, because the scripture says He will bless those. He won't withhold good things when you walk upright. Upright means that you're not going to be perfect, but your heart is for God. And when your heart is for God, He promised to fill you with joy. Here's the second thing. Joy sustains us during adversities. When you have joy, it will sustain you during adversity. So as soon as I landed, another text. Bing, 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 bing. It was some issues going on with my parents and some relatives. And I said, oh my God, I just had a great week. God, I don't want to deal with this. And quickly, God reminded me, don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. Because you can't change that. You're getting off the plane and you're going right back into adverse circumstances. But you can't change that. So in the book of Nehemiah, if you know anything about Nehemiah, I want you to read that book. It's a great book on leadership. But in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 12, what happens here is that Ezra, the priest, he comes up before the people and he reads from the book of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the people realize that they had sinned. And they start weeping and they start moaning. And Nehemiah steps up and he said, listen, I know that you sinned. I know that you messed up. But I want you to get up, dry your eyes, dust your shoulders off, and celebrate God for His goodness. Because God has restored you. Sometimes when we sin, we are up, just messed up. God know you messed up. But what He's asking you to do is ask for forgiveness, repent of that sin, walk another direction so that He can give you joy. So one of the things I'm learning how to do is I thank God for convicting me of sin. I don't want to walk around thinking I'm doing right and I'm doing wrong. God, convict me of the issues that are not pleasing to you. I thank God for showing me where I fall short. I thank God for men that will hold me accountable. I thank God for men that will speak in my life and don't care about my feelings, but they will tell me the truth and tell me where I am out of line. I thank God for people who love me enough to tell me when I'm wrong, because that produces joy in my life. And God is going to do a greater work. Thank God for the people around you who challenge you to be better, because when they challenge you, it's going to produce a better life, and God got more in store for you in the days ahead. Joy, it sustains us. So watch Nehemiah. If you continue to read the first half of the book, he's the cupbearer, and he has to go to restore the wall. He has adversity inside the camp and outside the camp, but he has joy. Can I tell you a little secret this morning? Children won't always do what you ask them to do. They're going to get in major trouble. Sometimes they're going to walk out on you. Sometimes they're going to listen to others more than they listen to you. And you tell them the same thing, but their advice from their friends sounds better. Go to bed mad. If you're dating somebody, you may break up. If you live long enough, you will become broke. Don't you allow that to steal your joy. Because you can't stop adversity. And Nehemiah realized that, and he led with the character of God. But what I'm saying to you this morning, you lead with the character of God, and you trust God, and watch God perform miracles in your life. And to my teenagers, friends walk out. So my daughter's going through something right now. I won't tell you all of it. But her closest friends, except one, then walked out on her. And I told her this, I said, baby, I'm proud of you, because you hadn't acted a fool. Now, you have every right to act a fool, but you hadn't. And you maintain your character. And the Bible says God won't withhold good things when you maintain your character. You better maintain your character. I don't care how bad they talk about you. You maintain your character so that God will give you joy. And here's the third thing, and I'm done. Here's the third one. We honor God as the source of our joy. We honor God as the source of our joy. James 1 and 17. I love this verse. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Do you understand God is a giving God? He gives on the basis of his character. He never stops giving, even when we fail him. His gifts are perfect. They are good because they come from his character, not your performance. And too many people are performing for God's blessing. It's not about your performance. It's about your heart for worship. God is not concerned about how you perform. He's more concerned with how you worship, how you live, how you love folks, how you treat people. And far too often in the church, we treat people like dirt. God wants you to elevate people. He wants you to celebrate people. He wants you to serve people. And as you're serving and elevating, he gives you more joy in your life. Why? Because he's going to give you good gifts. And what we miss is we are too busy trying to prove ourselves to people. Too busy. Too busy. So Thursday morning, Alex said, hey, Imano, can I take you to talk to the professional baseball team? I said, sure. Now, I really was trying to get home. I was just ready to get home. So he took me out to the professional baseball team. And each team has a psychologist on staff. Because of the poverty, they have to have somebody there to talk to the players. So I'm talking to the psychologist, and he says, hey, man, can we hook up? And I said, hey, bro, in the U.S., hook up means something else. So can you clarify what you said? Oh, no, that's not what I'm talking. I said, hey, we're just trying to be on the same lines, communication. He says, hey, can we be friends? Yeah, we're friends already. I said, are you on social media? He said, no. I said, so how are we going to communicate? Because American phones don't work in Cuba. He said, man, I don't do social media. I said, why not? He said, because I found out here in Havana that social media is misleading. He said, because people are always lying on social media. He says, and I correct, I said, not always. He said, but most of the time. I said, well, give me an example. I've seen so many ladies on social media. I'm like, woo, woo. And he says, but when I see them publicly, I'm like, man, they didn't gain 30 pounds. He said, Hermano, the problem I have is that people give you one perception, but it's not reality. And then they give you a perception based on how they wish they lived, but it's not reality. And then I watch them every day. They have no joy. They have no spunk because they're lying. And what I took away from that is quit being concerned about what people think about you. Be more concerned about what God thinks about you. Because at the end of the day, he's the only one that can bless you, heal you, deliver you, provide for you. Be more concerned with what people think about you. So on my way home, I get off the plane, and Brandon, go to those pictures. So I'm getting off the plane, and I'm thinking, man, I need to take care of my parents. There's some things I need to do. I got this. I got my job. Man, I hadn't seen my wife. And God had to remind me, don't let that steal your joy. So I went home, grabbed a chair, and I'm going to bless somebody this morning. And I sat down, and I started thinking about all the things God had done that week. I started thinking about when I got off the airplane, that this was the car that I rode in. No AC. A little fan sitting on the dashboard right here. And all week, I got into this green car, and I couldn't even slam the door. Because 70% of people in Cuba drive these cars because they have no car dealerships in Cuba because the government runs everything. And you can see the car. So I start thinking about what God was doing. Next slide. And then I start thinking about my Cuban teammates and Alex and how God had used me to be a blessing to them in this car with no AC. And I thought about even when we broke down three times in Cuba, God still accomplished his purpose. So then I start thinking about my friend Lazaro. Lazaro was in Ecuador. He was preaching the gospel, and the gangs told him to stop preaching. And he refused to preach because preaching gave him joy. And the gang member hit him in the back of the head, and he got a large cut in the back of the head. They left him for dead. Alex called him from Cuba and said, Lazaro, I need you in Cuba on my team because you got joy and God uses you. He is now in Cuba and his ministry is exploding. Yes, he got hit in the head. Yes, it was awful, but God is using him now to touch lives all through Havana. God had to slow me down and say, listen, don't let this stuff rob you of your joy. Look back on your week and watch what I've done. Sometimes you got to slow down and look back on your week to see how God has moved day in and day out. Quit worrying about the stuff and start worrying about God. Then I thought about this. Every morning we showed up to do chaplaincy training. And every morning we showed up to train, these women were praying for us. That there was 100 coaches and they got there at 8, but we started at 9, Crystal. And every morning, these women prayed and they didn't move. When we took a lunch break, they were praying. And that produced joy in my life to know that this Cuban leader was praying for our team every single day. How many people are praying for you so that you can have joy? Joy. Next slide. Then I thought about this. How God started using what we would throw in the trash. Avocate, not avocado. And all this stuff in there, Cuban rice. And God allowed me to serve people. And this pastor here realized that I'm not in my role, that I'm pastoring the church, but God called me to be in the sports ministry. And right now, he is praying through the idea of leaving his church, allowing God to raise somebody else so that he can have more joy to come into sports ministry to impact the lives of coaches because he wants more joy. How many of you are walking in roles that God didn't tell you to walk in and you have no joy? When you get in the right place, God will give you joy. When you find your role, God will give you joy. Then I thought about this. Third day, we have all these Cuban pastors and coaches, and God allowed me to commission them to pronounce a blessing over their ministry. And I thought about that, and God says, wait a minute. So you're going to get off this plane, and you're going to lose your joy over something you can't change, boy, you better remember all the stuff that I've done for you. So this morning, as I close, you need to remember all the good things that God has done for you. And when you remember the good things that God has done for you, God will give you more joy. He'll fill your cup till it runs over. And do I have another slide, Brandon? And then I thought about Alex. Alex. And then I thought about an interpreter the whole week, and I'm almost done. Here's a guy who barely knew what Christian ministry was about. And now he has ministry over the whole country. God wants to use you, but he can't use you if you're always defeated. And can I give one more slide and I'm done? Then I thought about these girls and how we went and spent time with them and how this pastor right here, Vladimir, who's from the UK, moved to Cuba so he can start a house church to minister to girls who are out on the street, who have no mothers and fathers, who's been abused. See, God will put somebody in your life to help you get through your mess. You have to understand who he's putting in and who he's taking out. And when you recognize who he's putting in and who he's taking out, you will have more joy. So here's how I want to end this morning. How many of you are struggling right now with joy? You have no joy. You have allowed something that your child has done to rob you of your joy. Some financial hardship to rob you of your joy. Something in the past that you can control, but it happened to you. And it's robbing you, it's killing you of your joy. And God is saying this morning, he has more. 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 Hear the Spirit of the Lord. He has more. Get your joy right. And when your joy is right, watch how the doors open. Watch how God start healing you. Sometimes we want to move too fast. I would love to walk in this church, and that's 3,000 people. But I realize that's not the season God has me in. And I have to walk according to the season that I'm in. Walk in your season. When you walk in your season, you'll have joy.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.